The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 308, 81 degrees here on this Thursday, August 7th, 2025. Excuse me while I continue to get a setup here. It's been a long day trying to get you as much information as we can that is in the public realm. And I know that's a hard thing to balance. It is for me. And I've been on both sides of this fence, but and I applaud my colleague Sue Henry for doing an outstanding job. Actually, everybody in this office for doing an outstanding job. Jason Barsky was still in the office, you know, helping out. Sue Henry was trying to verify and get you as much information as we can. I happen to live up on the Lackawanna-Susquehanna border, and first thing when this first started, just after 11 o'clock. I saw firsthand the response. I was driving and saw a massive police response, mostly state police vehicles. I did see the aviation unit fly over and realized real quickly that something was going on, started to do some research and make some calls, and sure enough, did get the report that there were two state troopers that were shot up in Susquehanna County. Now, even though that information is out there, even though that information, it's not to be put out in public realm. And, you know, we talked about during Sue Henry's show that the governor made a statement while at an unrelated event in Bucks County. And I'm sure the governor meant well. I'm sure, you know, he was told, obviously, he has a state police security detail. I'm sure he has a, you know, the phone on speed dial with his head of state police who if it works the way it should have immediately said, hey, you know, I'm headed up to Susquehanna County. We have two troopers shot. I will update you when I can, because it's something that the chief executive, which the governor is, should know. But for the governor to say something in public, and again, his heart may have been in the right place, giving his concern and thoughts to the people there from him and his wife. You have to realize why that information is held. Now, he could have simply said, I'm aware of the situation in Susquehanna County. We are monitoring it. And as soon as I'm able to release information, we will. But today's a good day to think about our state police. Sort of what I said to Sue Henry when I first called the show, when a lot of things still weren't out there in public, because this is what happens when that gets out there. Media started reporting it right away. WNEP reported it. Newspapers reported it. Governor says two state troopers are shot. You have family members of state troopers all around Northeast Pennsylvania that see that information on the news, see it come across their phone if they get alerts from their local news stations like I do, like a lot of you do. And immediately you had mothers, wives, husbands, brothers, sisters trying to call their loved ones who happen to be a state trooper or happen to be in law enforcement because maybe it was wrong. Maybe it's not a state trooper. Maybe it was local police. Maybe it was a game commission officer. We have a lot of law enforcement that works in our area. So these individuals are trying to call their loved ones, and not for nothing, but a lot of them, if not most of them from this area, were dealing with this active scene. We're here dealing with where they had someone contained, has already shot people. We're waiting for the proper resources to show up for the next step. They obviously can't take their phone out and answer it or send a text message, no, I'm okay. So now you have loved ones trying to call their state police loved ones, their law enforcement loved ones, and they're not getting an answer. Could you imagine the panic if your child, if your 26-year-old child was a state trooper and you're sitting at home and you see across our local news station that two state troopers were shot in Susquehanna County, where your son works, where your daughter works, where your husband works, where your wife works, where your mother or father works. Say you're at a sports camp and you see it come across an alert. Or somebody talks about it. Hey, did you hear the two state troopers? And now you have a kid trying to text his dad or his mom. And no one's answering. And I'm passionate about this because I've been there and seen it. You do not put information like that out there until families, notified families en route to the hospital. Thankfully, the reports we're getting is both officers are in stable condition. Thankfully. But that does not dismiss the trauma that families all across Northeast Pennsylvania. Now you or I, you want information. I get that. And we want it as soon as we can. And it's difficult at times because I do have access to a lot of this information, but I'm also going to abide by protocol to where if law enforcement says this information doesn't get put out to the public until we release it publicly, then that's the way it is. But once that cat's out of the bag, once that information's out there, there's no bringing it back. And then you have to deal with the recourses of that, the trauma of that. And I want you to put yourself in that position for a second and realize, what if your family member worked at a local supermarket and you heard there was a tragic event at that supermarket and you tried contacting your loved one and the phones weren't answering? You would panic. You would possibly rush there. See what's going on. You want that information. You want to know. And then you're constantly texting or calling that number to hopefully get an answer or response. Well, in this case, those loved ones were dealing with a volatile, active, deadly situation to where their focus needed to be on the mission at hand, at the task they had, setting up a perimeter, dealing with this, removing injured troopers from the scene to get them to medical help as fast as they could. And thankfully, we have that infrastructure here that's I would put second to none. So it aggravates me, and I understand it comes from, you know, trying to do the right thing, trying to be, you know, someone who's showing concern for their state police, and I believe he has genuine concern for his state police. But the necessary trauma that the unnecessary trauma that it put out there for families all over the place is just uncalled for. So there is information that's known now that is just not publicly put out there by the state police. They are the ones in charge. They are handling this investigation. So until it comes officially from them, I'm not going to give direct answers. I'm not going to give direct information for stuff they haven't released yet because it could affect their investigation. It could affect the lives and well-being of the troopers that are still out there dealing with this. This is still an active investigation, even though it appears to be resolved. But resolved is a fluid terminology because it's not, because this investigation will go on. This investigation will continue throughout the night into tomorrow. And maybe even therefore after that. We don't know where this investigation leads to because we don't know the facts of the situation. We don't know the reasoning behind it. What we need to do is be thankful for the law enforcement that at this point reported will be safe, don't have their lives in critical condition right now. And be thankful for the law enforcement we do have out there that rushed to this scene because someone decided to do evil things. And what those evil things were, we'll find out as the investigation leads. And the state police, I'm sure, will give a press conference with the details that they can release at the time they can release it. The head of the state police, Chris Parris, is up there. As soon as he gathers all the information and determines with his command staff and his investigators that this we'll go forward as far as public information-wise, then let it work that way. I understand the need for information. I understand the want for information, but we have to put what's right ahead of a lot of that sometimes. And being on both sides of this fence, being from law enforcement for decades to now in media to where I do want to bring you information, and it's great to get you information first because that's what media is all about. That's why you listen to specific people. Is it good information? Am I getting it rapidly? But there's also other concerns with that. And sometimes it needs to take a back seat to the investigation, to the protocol that's out there, to the men and women and their families who are risking their lives for you and I, to give them that pause, to give them that moment to make sure all the notifications are made. Families are able to be notified, hey, I'm okay. this is who it was, this is who it wasn't. Answering that text when you have a minute to breathe, saying, I'm all good, just can't text now. Or I'm all good, or a quick phone call, or whatever that may be. But you have to realize, for the past hours, this has been a volatile, violent situation that was contained. That's why they were asking people not to go near the area, because it was contained. There were enough resources there. They were just waiting for additional proper tactical units to get on scene. They did have air assets. They did have, you know, anyone who was on 81 earlier today at the start of this event saw the kind of response that moved north, not only more north, but from everywhere. From every vantage point, law enforcement came, because that's what they do. When there's calls for help, regardless if it's from one of their fellow officers, regardless if it's from a child, regardless if it's from you, they're going to go and they're going to put themselves between good and evil. And we will find out the facts of that as the state police releases that. The good points here is the two officers are in stable condition. Hopefully make a full recovery. That does not take away the evil that happened and the attempts on them. You know, as far as how they were shot and where they were shot, I have some of that information, but let that information come out officially, because there may be family members out there that are told their loved ones are okay, but if they start hearing, well, they were shot in this location, oh my God. Well, maybe the information I'm getting that they're okay is not right. And that's why this needs to be done right from the start. And again, I applaud my colleague Sue Henry for having that restraint. And if you heard me on the phone with her, you heard that very same restraint and my frustration with the governor, because I've been there. I've driven family members to the emergency rooms to where I knew information of the status of their loved ones, but I could not tell them because we could not have them breaking down and losing it in a vehicle. Let them get there. Let the proper support, let the proper resources get there to support them when they get news of their loved ones. And to see that frustration and to see, you know, text messages coming out to say, hey, I saw this on, well, then Twitter or X or whatever it is that this tragedy happened. And a lot of times that information's wrong. So if we get official updates as the show continues, not hearsay, not my friend told me this, not, listen, I get information from some of the best sources, and I take that information and I'm logging it for when I can say further when it's publicly released. Maybe I can expand on the public information that's out there. And that's just the way it is. And, I understand the sponge of information that we want to be. I understand the need to know and try to know it first or know more of it. But in times like this, we do have to show our restraint and just think and pray for the well-being of our law enforcement that are out there. So I hope you understand that, and I hope I brought you in a little bit to the frustration when information that's not only verified but unverified gets out there and kind of clouds this whole process and causes real trauma to real people that we call our neighbors, our friends, and our family in our area. I'm sure we all know someone who's a family member of a state trooper. I'm sure we all know someone who's family members of law enforcement. This is the reality of that they live with each and every day when their loved one leaves their house, and the hope that they come back, walk in that door the same way they walked out. So, they'll be in our thoughts today, and we'll bring you the information as we get it. It's coming up on 3:22 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. There's always one, right? There's always one. If it was Republican governor, you'd be applauding him right now. And I said, do you practice ignorance or is it natural? And they said, just truth, you hack. Yep, but yet here you are. But yet here you are listening, so I appreciate it. Thanks for bringing up the metrics. Thanks for listening. Thanks for upping my text metrics that I get each and every day that, you know, they take into account of how active our show is. So I appreciate all the help you bring. Pennsylvania Turnpike executives gave themselves a $367,000 pay raise including a CEO who gave himself an $86,000 boost. How do you feel about that? Do you use the Pennsylvania Turnpike? I'm sure most of us do, right? The Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission approved a total of $367,000 pay raise for the organization's chief officers during a closed-door executive session in March. We're just finding out about it. The raises were recommended by a wage study commissioned in February, which offered two options that resulted in the same total cost for salary increases. So wait, let me get this straight. There's a salary commission, and we're going to give you two options. But option A and option B have the same exact number of total raise increases. The CEO, Mark Compton, received the highest individual pay raise, more than $86,000, or a 33% increase, bringing his salary to just under $350,000. The salaries are funded with toll revenue, you know, but they had to increase tolls to make the viability of the turnpike safe for you and I because of the upgrades. No, maybe the upgrades in their salary, right? Anybody else get a 33% increase?
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Pay increase this year? The same pots that make up the commissioner's budget, operating budget, and the General Reserve Fund, which supports public transit under the 2007 state mandate. Six executives earn more than Governor Josh Shapiro, each making more than $250,000. Six executives, all making $250,000. A letter with signatures from the commissioners obtained by Penn Live said that the pay raise was for leadership retention and helped align the executive team's compensation with market standards. The executives' raises come as the turnpike closes on 17 years of annual toll increases that has bumped the cost to crossing the state as much as $200 for drivers without an easy pass. So just to drive across the state using the turnpike system costs you $200 if you don't have an easy pass. But hell, they gave themselves 33% raises now, didn't they? The letter said that even though this pay increase could raise questions and concerns, the commission is committed to transparency throughout this process. The study wasn't made public until requested by Penn Live last week. So it's a completely transparent and thorough process. We did this back in March, but we're just telling you about it now. And by the way, we gave ourselves a 33% raise. And both options for us to choose from had the same amount of raises for us. Do they think they're in the private sector? When you work in the public sector, you have to work for the public and make your case to the public. Well, not here. It happened behind a closed-door meeting, right? I guess that's just the way it is. In the study, the executive team's salaries were compared to salaries from 42 tolling transportation and independent government agencies across 19 states and Washington, D.C. The study also pulled data from two compensation databases and applied filters for the agencies with the average operating budget of about $1.6 billion. That's more than three times the Turnpike Commission's projected 2026 budget of $459.7 million. So let me get this straight. The study commission, who gave the two options, had a database, and they used filters that called for comparable organizations with a $1.6 billion budget. We have three times less than that, but yet our salaries should be about the same, and that's what they compared it to. It sounds like a transparent and honest assessment from the start. Now, doesn't it to you? And then we wonder why no one trusts government. And it doesn't matter who's in charge of that government. Listen, I don't know the politics of any one of these individuals. I do know that the system wasn't transparent. I do know the system was behind closed doors. I do know the tap dance they're trying to do now, saying, oh, we're committed to transparency and thoroughness. But yet you didn't provide this until it was asked for by a news organization. And now we find out that the study commission you based it off of padded up your numbers by 3 times as far as what you should be compared to. This is going to continue in government. And by government, I mean, I don't care who's in charge of it. This is going to continue in government till someone says enough's enough and people start going to jail. It's as simple as that, right? How do you get a commission that comes up with 2 options that estimates up by 3 times what you should be compared to and then comes out with numbers, both of them being the same as far as your benefit package, what you should get paid? Give yourself a 33% raise as the CEO. And then turn around to the public with a straight face and say, we're committed to thoroughness and transparency. And this is just to retain us because of the job we do compared to those around us, even though we compared us to people 3 times the size of us. Sounds legit, doesn't it? I don't know. Luckily, the weekend's coming. I don't know how else we handle this sort of thing. It's 3:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. A lot of text messages coming in on what we talked about with the two Pennsylvania state troopers that are, we're hearing, are going to be in stable condition, and that's the greatest news we could hear today after a shooting up in Susquehanna County and Thompson. And it's an ongoing investigation still, but the scene is now secure. The individual is in custody. As far as the status of that, I do not have that, but it has been publicly reported now that the suspect is in custody. Some updates on that Fort Stewart shooting that we talked a little bit about yesterday, that it was, again, an ongoing situation yesterday. It was indeed Army Sergeant Cornelius Radford, he's been identified now, who sent a cryptic text message about his possible plans to a family member. U.S. Army sergeant accused of opening fire on fellow soldiers with a handgun that he possessed legally, we're hearing at this point, at the Fort Stewart base just outside of Savannah, Georgia, reportedly sent an ominous text to a relative right before the shooting, warning that he'd be in a better place soon. Sergeant Cornelius Radford, 28, is accused of shooting 5 soldiers at the Army base Wednesday before he was quickly tackled by other troops, officials says. And these troops have already been awarded medals. And I listened to some of their stories and their reports, both men and women, that charged this individual to take him down. In the lead up to the violence, Radford apparently fired off a text message to an aunt saying that he loved everybody and that he'll be in a better place because he was about to go and do something. This is being reported by the New York Times, who have observed these texts. Authorities are still probing a motive for the shooting, refuse to speculate on what could have triggered Radford, an active duty sergeant specializing in automated logistics. It has been reported that he was recently trying to get a transfer from the location. He added, the soldier's, the suspect's father added that his son didn't have any history of serious mental illness, but had struggled in the past with depression after his mom died when he was a child. Now, again, he's 28 years old, was a sergeant in the Army, so he's promoted a few times. An active duty soldier. Radford, who enlisted in 2018 and was stationed at Fort Stewart since 2022, allegedly opened fire on the base with a personal handgun shortly before 11 a.m. 5 soldiers he accused of shooting, who were co-workers in his unit, were all expected to survive, according to the base commander, Brigadier General John Lubas. I don't have a reason to believe that this had anything to do with the training event, Lubas said. Appears to be a workplace violence issue at this stage. So again, another one that we'll have to wait for the investigation. It has been revealed, based on this shooting now, and that the police are involved, Criminal Investigation Service, which is the Army's investigators, revealed that the suspect had a prior drunk driving arrest, which was unknown to the chain of command until after the shooting when officials started looking into a law enforcement database. So this individual, this sergeant, was arrested for drunk driving and did not notify his command. Now, that's a violation. If you are ever arrested for anything, you need to notify your chain of command. It appears that that's just something else that this sergeant was hiding, as well as whatever grievance he had against his coworkers. The sergeant was due to face an August 20th hearing on that drunk driving, a small town near the base, for allegedly driving under the influence and running a red light just after 1 a.m. on May 18th, according to a citation in court filing. He was given a blood test and freed on $1,800 bond, the document said, and again, did not notify the military. And it may be shocking to some, but it's not common for the military to constantly check criminal databases for their staffing. That's why they depend on the member who is facing arrest to notify their chain of command. Maybe that changes. That may entail law change as well, depending on how it's done. So that's an update on the Fort Stewart shooting in Georgia, that we know that a cryptic text was sent, and it appears that this sergeant did not expect to be alive after this shooting. But again, a group of heroic Army soldiers charged this individual and tackled him and did disarm him and hold him for authorities. I believe I saw three or four that were awarded commendations today for their heroic actions during this event. And kudos to them. They were both men and women assigned to Fort Stewart. It's 3:43 here at WILK. We'll be back. We're going to break in now live with a press conference from the Pennsylvania governor and Pennsylvania State Police leadership on the ongoing shooting that was in Susquehanna County. All right, and that was Governor Josh Shapiro with the head of the Pennsylvania State Police, Chris Parrish, that were there. And as you heard, both state troopers are in stable condition and will be okay, and that's great news. The suspect is deceased, so by in custody, he's in custody deceased, which is a good thing. If you listen to the governor and the superintendent of the state police, they said that they received a call. Possibly shots being fired were part of that call, but they're still looking into that aspect of the original call. And the second they arrived, they were ambushed and fired upon. This head of the state police, Chris Parrish, described the troopers' vehicles as being riddled with bullets. He did name, which I had these names earlier today, and obviously did not want to put them out until they were officially released by the Pennsylvania State Police, but Trooper Jenkins and Trooper Prochinski. And from listening to what happened is Trooper Jenkins, and again, that's the same confirming the information that I had earlier today, was shot in the arm and Trooper Prochinski was able to get a tourniquet on him. The information that I heard that Trooper Prochinski was shot in the chest. Thankfully, he had his bullet-resistant vest on. Unknown what type of weapon is being used in this. Again, this is still under investigation. But both troopers, you just heard the governor saying that he comes from a law – Trooper Prochinski comes from a law enforcement family. His girlfriend is a Pennsylvania State Trooper. His father is an area police chief. And the fact that they were breaking chops is in fact a good sign. And it was a very good press conference from the governor, giving the personal nature and bringing that out, that, listen, if you were just shot – and in a situation like this where your partner was also shot and you had the tourniquet and you used it properly and possibly saved that trooper's life, depending on what arteries were hit in the arm. And the hero third state trooper that is unnamed at this point that was able to position his vehicle under fire to evacuate those two officers. It just goes to show you what our state troopers, what our law enforcement does. One of the other things that the head of the Pennsylvania State Police did bring out as well is this called for a response from New York State Police as well, just over the border there. You know, he said purple ties and Stetsons, because anyone who's traveled to New York, that's their uniform. Their gray uniform with purple ties and their Stetsons. They responded to this as well, because when officers are down, there are no borders, there are no jurisdictions, everybody comes. And that appears what happens here. The suspect is down. Good news is some original preliminary reports, and I did not hear it in this report, there were supposedly other victims. Some reports we were getting, Sue Henry and I were talking about it, where the initial reports were three people dead. You know, there was reports of a woman down and an EMT or paramedic being struck as well. And I did not hear any of that in this press conference. So that's good news, and it just goes to show original information that comes out is not necessarily the right information, which is why we hold it back. So that was a good information from both the head of the state police, and it's preliminary. You know, they were caught this you couldn't see it. I was watching it on TV while listening to it. They were at CMC, Geisinger CMC. They were just got out of the hospital there. They had a priest flanked with them that was there as well for family support, and that's normal protocol. But this was a good press conference to put the community at ease. Again, no danger to the community. The suspect is down and deceased. But this investigation is just beginning. They need to find out what was behind the ambush of these troopers. What was the motive behind that original call? Was there a real call, or was this just a straight up ambush? But the good news out of this whole thing is the two state troopers will be going home to their family, are in stable condition, and that's outstanding news. But just listen to the outstanding professionalism of our Pennsylvania State Police. You know, two state troopers immediately brought under fire, vehicles riddled with gunfire, as per the statements from the head of the state police. One trooper supports the other one, who was struck in the arm with a tourniquet to stop the bleeding. He is also struck, since their name now. And you have a third trooper that rushes in with his vehicle, puts himself in the line of fire to evacuate his two co-workers. Just outstanding documentation of heroism right here in our own backyard. It's 3:54 here at WILK. We'll be back. We're coming up on the 4 o'clock hour here on WILK News Radio. And talk about team effort. We have Sue Henry still in the studio working overtime today to make sure we get everything right for you. We'll talk about more when we come back at the 4 o'clock hour. I believe we have Lackawanna County Commissioner Chris Chermak coming on as well. But the good news is both state troopers from the Susquehanna County incident are in stable condition. And the heroism that we found and just heard of from this group is just outstanding.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.